Welcome into another episode of The Morning Sip. I'm your host, Kirsten Kroll, and joining me today, we have a very special guest who I've been wanting to have on the show for a while, and I am happy to introduce Miss Madison Golden.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this since you started your podcast, and I'm very honored that I was one of the guests picked.
I'm so excited to have you. When I, like, announced that you were here, I expected a round of applause, and then I just remembered it was just us.
Maybe at home they'll give us a round of applause.
So if you're listening at home, we expect a round of applause for Madison. So, Madison, how we start off the show every week is just by talking about the morning good. So my morning good is that I got to see my family for the first time in 3 months over the weekend when I went home for Thanksgiving. And I got to see my little nephew, Logan, who is almost two now, believe
it
or not.
So cute.
He is adorable. I'm obsessed with him. We now have a little handshake that we do where he'll give me a high five and then a fist bump. So cute. I love him. And so I actually cried when I had to leave him this week.
I think I would have too.
He's just, he's my little buddy. So that's my morning good. What's yours?
I would say my morning good was that I ran the turkey trot.
Wow.
On Thanksgiving, you know, which is a battle in itself. And I went back to Colorado for Thanksgiving, so it was at altitude. So definitely felt it.
That's an adjustment.
It really is.
I remember when I came out to Colorado to visit you, I was hurting for a little
while.
It was an adjustment for sure.
You really feel it. You get headaches. The altitude really gets to you.
It definitely does. Well, speaking of Colorado, how was being back home?
It was very nice. I was glad to see my family and my brother. I always look forward to seeing him. I can tell he misses me. He's definitely more emotionless than I am, but I could tell that he was excited.
You guys have an interesting relationship,
We really do. We're quite the sibling duo.
I feel like you guys are always fighting, and then like you and your mom are always arguing.
Yeah, I did. I only argued with my mom once over the trip, that was good. I think we've turned a new leaf.
I think you have too, and I remember you saying that. How's your dad doing?
Oh, you know, Tony, he's just really living life. He's doing well. He was excited to have me home.
I can imagine.
He got me a Christmas sweater that said, "I'm having a meltdown," which I feel
accurate.
Is very fitting.
That is very fitting.
And he saw it and was like, "I immediately knew this was the sweater for you," and I agree with that completely.
I would also agree with that. Did your dad also run the turkey trot with you?
He did, but he went ahead. I told him, I don't like it when he runs with me because he makes me go faster than I want to. So I just told him, you know what, Dad, you run at your own pace. Let me do my thing, and we'll call it good.
Did they, like, keep track of how you finished at the turkey trot?
Oh, yeah, they it's timed.
How long did it take you to finish, and what place were you in?
I didn't really look at the results, but there was an 11-year-old who ran the turkey trot 5K in 16 minutes.
Oh.
Which is like 530 miles, a little less than that, at age 11.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So when I saw that on the scoreboard, a little discouraging.
And, well, if that's not something to motivate you to whip into shame,
no kidding.
Would motivate me. That, like, makes me feel bad about myself right now. I think I can run, like, 1 mile in, like, 9 minutes.
Right. Same. I'm like, wow. And I feel good about that. But, you know, at 11, just 16-minute 5K.
Casual.
Yeah.
Very casual.
Future cross-country champion of the Olympics, I feel it.
Well, speaking still on the same track of Thanksgiving, did you do any Black Friday shopping?
I did. We went to just the mall in my area that I grew up in, and we did some Black Friday shopping. We didn't do too much because we had gone shopping earlier that week, but we did go to Lululemon.
Ooh.
And I did buy a new pair of leggings.
So that put a little dent in the wallet there,
I'm
assuming.
It did, for sure. But it was worth it.
Did you see anyone get trampled?
I did not see anyone get trampled, but there was a line, and there was people, like, you can tell when people get snooty.
Mm.
Like, if you bumped
yes.
into them in Lulu, they just death glared you, and yeah, but it was fine. It was fun.
I hate to say this, but I feel like when I'm shopping, I do not like to shop with other people because I know what I want. I'm in and out. Like, I love to shop at my own pace. And, like, I usually, too, I know my sizes for the most part. I don't try things on. So when people, like, try things on and stuff, and then I'm just sitting there, like, I'm just like, I could be at two other stores right now. And so also, too, like, I don't want to say it, but I feel like I unintentionally am one of those people when I'm shopping where if someone bumps into me, I whip my head around and I'm like, who was that? Who was that?
I honestly, I could see it.
Yeah.
I feel like you can be pretty intense when you're shopping. But, you know, that's okay. I like people who know, get in and out. I'm like that, too. You know, if you know what you want, you just go.
I try to think, like, if I'm like that in other aspects of my life. And if I am, like, I need to stop. But I don't think I am unless it comes to, like, shopping and food.
Food, everyone just gets moody. You know,
they
you
do.
When you're hungry, you're hungry.
When I was home for Thanksgiving break, it was Friday night, I was so hangry. I walked up the stairs. My mom's like, what was wrong? She, like, asked me. She looked at me, and she's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I'm just crabby, okay? Leave me be. And then I proceeded to order a pizza, went to go pick up my pizza. I took my pizza downstairs to the basement. I ate 6 slices in one sitting. And then I came back upstairs, and I was all good. The hanger went away.
Yeah, you really can't underestimate you with your pizza slices, because I've seen you, and it's honestly so impressive how many
you
can eat, but it just shocks the world. You just see Kirsten walk away with, like, 6 slices in your life.
If I eat less than 5 slices of pizza, then you should be worried.
Yeah, I think I would be concerned. I don't think I've ever seen you eat less than 5.
Yeah, I don't – it's been a while since I've – eaten less than 5 slices at a time.
What did you get on Black Friday?
I think the better question is, what didn't I get on Black Friday? I went a little too hard, and now I'm just, like, looking at what I bought, and I'm like, I should probably return some of these things. But I did get a lot of things that have been on my list for a while. So, Mom, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But I also have a red card at Target, so I got the deals early as well. And I got the new Fitbit Versa, which is now on my wrist, and I'm obsessed. Like,
I really like it.
I'm obsessed with it.
It's very sleek.
Thank you. And then I also, there's this one online boutique that I have been eyeing for a while, and it's one of my favorites. It's the Pink Lily.
Yes.
I'm obsessed. I got, like, my Sherpa. I got some dresses, a skirt, a couple other
very
tops.
Cute.
I love it, and I'm obsessed.
Did they have a good Black Friday deal?
It was 30% off the whole site, which was good. And then for 1 hour of the entire weekend, they bumped it up to 40% off. So I get text messages from the Pink Lily, which I'm kind of ashamed to admit. So as soon as I got the text, I pulled out my laptop and was like, there's still stuff I want.
You ordered it right then.
I did. So, you know, I need to take a break, give my credit card a rest, because
yep.
it needs a break.
It needs a break.
But I didn't trample anyone on Black Friday
good.
Either.
That's good.
And I did not see anyone get trampled. So
also
I think
bonus.
That causes for a successful day. I think the thing I was most excited about on Black Friday, my purchase I was most proud of, was my $8 Tupperware set I got from Target.
$8?
It was $8, yes.
That's a very good deal on Tupperware.
I know, and that's, I think, the moment that I knew I was an adult was when I got excited about
Tupperware. Yeah. And, yeah, on Black Friday, you can't beat that. $8 for
no.
a set.
Honestly. And then my mom was asking me what I want for Christmas, and I was like, well, I need a luggage set. And I also want those Pyrex dishwares.
Yes.
Those more storage containers. And she's like, okay. And so I was just like,
good.
When did I become this way?
This
why
is what I want.
Why am I the way I am?
For Christmas.
Asking for storage containers.
For Christmas. Yep.
Yes.
It happens. We all, it's not a bad thing.
I just don't know what else I want, because, like, the stuff that I want is expensive and I feel bad asking people to get it for
I know.
Me. And then, so usually I just end up getting it myself
yeah,
if I want it bad
myself.
Enough, because I'm not going to ask someone else to spend that much money on me.
That's always where you're like, oh, I'll just buy it for myself.
I know.
They
and
can
so
give
then
me something else.
When my mom asks me what I want for Christmas, it's like, okay, well, like, I don't want to ask you to spend hundreds of dollars, because that's not going to happen.
Right.
And it's just like, what's reasonable? What do I need? What's practical?
And you can never go wrong with a luggage set either.
Oh, my gosh, no.
You can
especially for all the
that.
Places I want to travel
oh,
to.
Yeah.
That's a necessity.
That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great gift.
Well, switching gears a little bit, you are a holiday fanatic, and that is why I wanted you on this week's episode. Where did your love for Christmas come about?
Oh, my gosh. I've just always loved Christmas. I think my mom kind of sparked my love for this holiday season. I just, we always grew up like with lots of decorations at our house, Christmas movies. I always saw the Nutcracker when I was younger, like every year that was our annual tradition. So I always loved the Nutcracker. I just love all of like the festivities, just the feeling, the music, movies, so everything about it.
I feel like in the past you have told me the day after Halloween you put up your Christmas tree. Did you do that this year?
We did not because we didn't have one as a household. I put up my miniature one the day after Halloween, we didn't have one at my house this year, so we need to get on that. But we did.
So you don't have a real size tree yet?
No, we don't.
Let me make a suggestion real quick.
Please make a suggestion. I'm ready.
I also did not have a tree up until 2 weeks ago. I went on Facebook Marketplace and I found a Christmas tree 6.5 feet tall with lights and decorations for $10.
$10?
$10. Like, this was such a good deal. I had to drive 30 minutes to go pick
that
tree
is
up.
So worth it.
And it was the kindest old woman that I have ever met. I told her, I was like, this is my very first Christmas tree. I was looking for a really good deal. And she goes, oh, I have 7 of them I'm selling, so I'm so happy that I sold this one to you.
She has 7?
Yeah, she said the tree she sold me was the one from her bedroom.
Wow, we aspire to be like her.
Why she has 7 Christmas trees, I have no idea.
I feel like that's how I want to be. You know, have one
so
for
like,
every room.
Where do you put one? Like your bedroom, the guest room, the living room, the basement, the kitchen, the bathroom? Like, do you put a Christmas tree in the bathroom?
I feel like you could put a little mini one on the counter. Maybe
I imagine like a 6.5 foot tall tree in the bathroom, like
in the shower.
You just trees have gotta it get in. Clean too, you know.
you just share the shower with the Christmas tree.
There's so many things I could say about that, but I'm not going to. So speaking of the holidays, still, what are some of your favorite traditions?
So, like I mentioned before, I love seeing the Nutcracker. And we're big in my family. We love Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. That's our favorite Christmas movie across my household. So we always watch that several times. And then we started doing this tradition at the Wildlife Experience in Colorado where they show it on the big screen and you dress up as characters.
Ooh.
So we started that last year and I will be in attendance this year and I'm very excited. And I love watching Christmas movies. Decorating. Sometimes we go ice skating, but this year it's too warm, so none of the lakes have frozen.
Well, I think they're starting to.
They're starting,
now, so
yeah.
Hopefully by Christmas you'll be good.
I hope so.
But, so you're from Colorado, which I think you mentioned earlier in the show. What is Christmas out in the mountains like?
We've never spent Christmas in the mountains just because most of my family lives, like, in the suburbs. But we have gone up to the mountains, like, during the holidays when it's decorated, and it's beautiful. It literally is right out of a movie. And they have, like, all the trees are lit up, and the ski villages are so cute during Christmas. I love the mountains. I would love to spend Christmas in the mountains one year.
Well, I remember when I went to Breckenridge, to Colorado to go visit you, and then we stopped in Breckenridge, mm-hmm. and they had a whole entire little Christmas shop. And then I remember in June, you were buying ornaments for your tree.
Absolutely. That is also a tradition. Every time we go to Breckenridge, my mom and I each buy 2 ornaments. So now our trees, it's very themed. It's like ski themed.
And you love skiing too.
I do. I'm a snowboarder because I was a horrible skier.
I also suck at skiing. It's okay.
I
understand.
Hard.
It's so hard.
Yeah, snowboarding is really hard to learn, but once you get it, way easier than skiing. I was just dreadful at skiing. It was dangerous.
That is my goal for this winter. I am not a winter person. Like, I love going to, like, outdoor ice rinks, playing boot hockey, watching my friends play hockey that can actually skate, and then also attempting myself to try to skate, which I go maybe, like, 0.5 miles per hour. Like, I don't go anywhere anytime fast. But this year, I'm really trying to make myself like the winter, because winter in Minnesota, as you know, is like 8 months out of the entire year. And
right.
So I need a hobby in the winter. So I'm going to really try to get into snowboarding this year. And the reason I don't say I'll try to get into skiing is because I am horrible. The one and only time I went skiing was on the 6th grade ski trip. And I was like in the front. And I was going really slow, and so I forget who asked me. Maybe it was an instructor, one of my classmates. But they're like, Kirsten, will you please go to the back? Like, you're going really slow and holding us all up.
Oh my God.
I was like, okay, I'm sorry. I know I'm bad. I'm learning.
I'm
this is
sorry.
My first
Don't
time.
Stress
and
me
we
out.
Were also on the bunny hill, too. So whatever. So then I go to the back, and then I knock everyone over. Like, I was so bad. It was embarrassing, and everyone got mad. So then I proceeded to just go hang out in the ski lodge the rest of the day.
I know where I'm going now.
Exactly, because I didn't want to have to start over and, like, go through the training all over again. Because if you didn't do well on the bunny hill, they made you start from ground zero to relearn. And so I was like, I don't want to do that. So I just ate cheese curds up in the lodge.
I don't blame you. I would have left too. I did not like it. It's very difficult.
It's so hard. Like, props to people like Lindsay Vonn, who are very, very good at skiing.
Yeah. It's so cool to watch. Especially, what's it called where they do those jumps during the Olympics? I forget what the event is called.
Isn't it like Shalom?
Yeah.
I don't want to say Shalom because that's Hebrew, but like Shalom?
Yeah, it's something like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Where they like
I know
toss
exactly,
their arms
I know, back. I know exactly what you're talking about because did you ever play Millsbury as a kid?
No.
Like Millsbury.com, it's now closed. Like the website's no longer active that's a whole nother story because that made me so upset. This was my website when I was younger. But they had like some Reese's Pieces downhill skiing like Shalom. I'm not saying that right, I don't think. So if somebody listening can tell me how to pronounce it, that'd be great.
Please reach out to us and explain.
But I played that game all the time and I was so good at it. I was winning trophies all the time on the website for playing it. So that is how I know what you're talking about.
Okay. From the Pillsbury.com?
Not Pillsbury.
Oh, sorry.
Millsbury. Mind you. Do not tarnish its name.
So why did it get shut down?
I don't know, but it was a tragedy.
It was very upsetting.
I'm still upset about it because, to be honest, if it was still active, I would still play it. Something else, though, that I outgrew, but I could totally easily get back into, Club Penguin.
I was just going to say that. Love Club Penguin.
Especially during the holidays. Club Penguin is so fun. The ski village, there's the Christmas music playing.
It was so cute. Do you remember when you would try to find, like, dates on Club Penguin and you would be – I was always so nervous to message them, but then they would message you back. And
I would message other penguins and I'd invite them back to my igloo so they could meet my Puffles.
Oh, yeah. How many did you have?
Oh, I had so many.
Did you have one in every color? I think I did.
Yes. Yeah. I had one in every color, and then I got the special edition Puffles. Oh. I built my Puffles a suite.
Amazing.
A suite. Like, they were living – The life.
That's a good website. I miss Club Penguin.
I also miss Club Penguin. Maybe I should go back on and play
it
later.
Yeah, I kind of want to see what it's like now.
Me too. I think it's not even like named Club Penguin anymore. It's like Penguin Island or something, I think.
Well, that's
annoying. I think they rebranded.
Disappointing.
I know. It's very disappointing. But also the day that, like, I upgraded my membership to actually become a Club Penguin member so I actually could, like, spend my coins, my hard-earned coins from, like, the coffee shop and, like, the pizza shop. I could, like, buy as many Puffles as I wanted, and I could give the Puffles the life they deserve.
Yeah, that was the best when you finally got a membership. You convinced your parents to get you one.
Oh, no. My mom did not pay for a membership for me. No. I went to Target and I bought those, like, pay-by-the-month cards when I was, like, 12. And
that's how you – that's smart.
That's how I afforded to
be a member. I begged my parents for so long, and I did, like, a series of chores. But I only got, the lowest one so that I could buy all the stuff. And then they were like, we're only paying for it once.
They don't let you even use the stuff once you're not a member anymore, do they?
I don't think so. Upsetting.
Look at all these websites out to get young kids and their money.
Out to get you.
Their hard-earned allowance.
Yeah.
How much did you used to get for allowance?
To be honest, my parents didn't really do allowance. They would repay us in other ways. Like, if we did chores without complaining and there was, like, something that I wanted.
I bet that didn't happen very often.
It was very rare. But if I would be like, I really want this shirt, my mom would be like, okay, if you do well with, like, helping around the house this next week, we'll talk about it. So that was what motivated me. How much did you get for allowance?
For a while, I got $5 a week, which, you know, when I was 10, it was enough to buy me what I wanted. But as I got older, my mom, like, started giving me allowance for how old I was up until I got a job. So when I was 15, I got $15 a week. So when she told me one day, she's like, you're going to start getting $15 a week. I was like, do you know what I can buy with $15 a week?
That is so much money, Mom.
It was.
It really was back then.
It was. And, like, I could go afford to buy Subway when I went to the mall and to hang out with my friends. Like,
yeah.
It was the thing to do.
Amazing.
Well, something else I kind of forgot to bring up that I know you've been dying to talk about on this episode. What is your favorite thing to play around Christmas time?
Okay. My favorite thing to play is the 2014 Rockefeller tree lighting Mariah Carey All I Want for Christmas mic feed.
I'm already laughing. I can't do this.
If you're ever in the mood for a treat, look that up on YouTube. First thing that pops up, and it is her mic feed of what was one of the worst performances in holiday performance history.
Will you please let the viewers know what you're talking about? Like, play
would
a snippet.
Would you like me to
I would
play
like
it?
You to play a snippet.
Absolutely.
Of it.
So Mariah Carey, you know, I'm not a huge fan of this woman.
Because, why?
Mostly because she has single-handedly ruined three holiday performances.
What?
She performed twice on New Year's Rockin' Eve these past 5 years. Ruined both of those.
How did she ruin them?
The first one, her background track got all screwed up, and she tried to blame it on the fact that they had a limited rehearsal.
Oh.
And she was just a raging lunatic about it and just, like, was so mean to the reporters. Then the following year, she immediately, the first thing she says when she got on stage was, "Where's my hot tea?" And and she proceeded to then say, "I don't know how I'm going to do this without hot tea, but I'll try." And I was just like, Mariah, every other performer has done this without hot tea. And here you are. Also, side note, she likes to be pushed in a wheelchair.
What?
To the front of the stage when she performs. She does not
You're
walk.
Lying. You're
I'm
lying.
Not.
You this is look, not true.
You can look this up. She does not walk from her hair and makeup to the front of the stage. Okay? So she is a diva. Raging lunatic.
Oh,
okay,
my gosh.
Here's a snippet of the mic feed.
I can't.
Make my wish come true for Christmas. Make my wish come true.
I think it's that part. And that part that get me every single
she just,
time.
Like, feel free to look up the rest of it. You really want to see the rest. But, I mean, I don't... It's just absolutely awful.
I think my question is, who leaked this? And did they ever find out who it was? And did he get fired?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because how would one even obtain the mic feed? It would have to be someone who works for NBC, perhaps? The
I feel like
guy?
I owe my life to that guy because this, listening to this changed everything.
It really did. I mean, and then at the end of the video, you'll hear her be like, say, "I need a new coat." She is of the
Mariah,
type
Mariah, it was not your coat that caused you to sound like that.
Exactly. She is one of those people who blames other things for her performing poorly. And I don't respect that. And yes, I will say she has a beautiful voice and, like, she's saying, I love her holiday album, but, you know, these past few years, she's just ruined it for me.
Oh, no. I don't understand.
I don't either. But, I mean, it is a gem that we found the mic feed.
This is, I feel like, you know how people say that there's, like, a moment in life that defines who they are as a person? I feel like this mic feed defined me. Like... This changed everything.
I really do, too. I just think, yeah, it just really, it makes you step back, for sure.
I just...
And just realize, Yeah, so that's my Mariah Carey, you know, minute and a half talk, rant.
I'm really happy we discussed that.
Me too. I'm glad you recircled back to the topic that I was really most looking forward to talking about.
I'm really upset with myself that I forgot to ask you sooner.
It's okay. You know, we got to it, and I'm glad we did, because any opportunity to basically rip Mariah apart, I will gladly take it.
Okay, so also, this thought just came to me, and I don't know why every single episode of this show it comes down to, like, talking about conspiracy theories or ghosts. But Saturday when I was home, I sat my butt on the couch for 9 hours. 9 hours straight of watching Ghost Adventures. Do you watch that show?
That show was intense.
I think it's hilarious.
I think some episodes are funny, but those are scary.
Whenever I need a good laugh, like, I turn Ghost Adventures on. Like, Zach and Aaron, their dynamic, like, everyone reams Aaron all the time.
All the time.
And just give, they are the ones that lock him up in places by himself for hours on end. And if someone did that to me, I think I would sit and cry. I'd be so scared.
That would be horrible.
But so not only do I think it's hilarious, but like you said, yeah, like some episodes are really scary. Have you ever heard of the Black Dolly? Dahlia, I think is what it's called.
No.
It was this missing woman out in Los Angeles. And it's like the Black Dahlia or something like that. And it's like her murder is a mystery, but they have a good idea of who murdered her. So if you've never listened to this before, I highly recommend, like, you Google it or, like, look it up. It's an interesting story. And I was sitting in my living room with my brother, and I was scared. Like, this episode, it was funny when they were doing the seance because the girls' faces, like, the medium, like, we just couldn't take it seriously, so it made me and my brother really laugh. But it was one of the best episodes I've ever seen. Like, I felt it. Like, I thought it was legit. And so basically the story behind her is that she was last seen at, like, this hotel that she used to hang out at all the time.
Okay.
And then she was leaving and, like, walking down the street, and, like, this car pulled up, and some guy was like, "That's her. That's her." And so then they grabbed her and put her in the car and then drove away. And no one knows for sure who killed her, but this one guy, I don't know his name. I'm not a great storyteller because I'm leaving out a lot of important details. But so he, like, apparently people, including his son, based off of all the evidence that was gathered from the LAPD, they thought for sure that this guy's dad did it. And his son, full-fledged, thinks his dad did it and, like, did it in their home. And so basically what happened to her, they found her body, and so based off of the body that they found, they concluded her mouth was cut from, like, cheek to cheek. Like, just, it was gross, and they actually showed the image, and her body was cut in half. And they thought that they cut her body in half in, like, this bathtub. Yeah.
Were both parts of her body at the site found her?
Oh, yes. And they actually showed the picture with blurring, like, her midsection a little bit because she was cut in half. But you could see her mouth, like, cut, like, from upper cheek to upper cheek. Like, disgusting. And the LAPD thought, like, she was cut up, like, in the bathtub in their basement. Just really creepy stuff, and I was getting really freaked out watching this. This is one of the only times watching Ghost Adventures I've ever gotten genuinely scared. And then they also said that she was tortured for, like, 4 days. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And the guy that they think murdered her was a surgeon, and they said the way, like, she was cut and stuff, like, it was very precise.
Been,
like,
yeah.
It had to have been a skilled surgeon that did it. So if you have never looked that story up before,
I highly recommend it. Sounds like an episode right out of Criminal Minds or something.
Oh,
like,
my gosh, don't get me started on Criminal Minds. Leaving my house yesterday, I mean, this wasn't Criminal Minds, but just, like, crime shows in general, which I, along with the majority of the population, love crime shows. But anyways, I heard the Law and Order SVU.
Yes.
Like, intro come on, and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to turn this off now, because if I even watch part of it, I need to sit my butt down and watch the entire episode. Yep.
You can't just see part of it.
And that's the exact same case for shows like House Hunters. If I watch 2 minutes of House Hunters,
you're hooked.
I need to know, did they choose house one, two, or three?
Exactly.
Did they go with the best price or the best view? Like, I need to know.
Absolutely. You can't just, yeah. Those are, you just can't.
That show also makes me really upset because I'm just like, Amber, why did you pick house number one? House number three was clearly the right choice for you and your family.
Sometimes you just really question their integrity and their personalities by their selection. Just poor choices are always made.
Like, sometimes I really wish that they would give me control over their life so that I could choose, like, how, like, which house their family lives in.
And also, some of their budgets are just outrageous.
I was just going to say that.
I genuinely wonder how you have that much money.
Like, side note, I watched a lot of TV this past week. I did nothing except sit on my couch and watch TV, basically. And this episode of House Hunters that I was watching, this lady and her husband were looking for a rental home. Mm-hmm. And the lady, her budget was like $1.6 million. And I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I had that kind of money to drop on a rental home.
Right.
And then she was like, this, if I'm buying it, if I'm investing money, it needs to be up to my style. And this house was super nice, like very renovated. And this woman was going through and she's like, I don't like those countertops. We're going to need to gut this entire kitchen. And one of the things that struck me really hard, too, is she's like, when I'm in the shower, I cannot see the toilet. I can, that is something I can't deal with. The toilet needs to be in its own separate room. And I'm just like, that is so odd. Like, I wish I had so but much why? Money that I could be upset that the toilet is in the same room as visible. The shower.
I've never heard that request.
I just kind of wish that for, like, 2 minutes I could be
just experience
the same way. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, Madison, also, too, I want the audience to get to know you
okay.
a little better personally. Okay. So we know you're obsessed with the holidays, but how I got to know you is through our campus TV station.
Yes.
And me and you, we've kind of just been on the same track for
we really have.
All of college.
All
we've
4 years.
Yes, and we've done a lot of the same stuff in our time here. But what made you want to go into sports reporting?
So I was at my high school that I went to. We had a TV station. And my brother plays hockey. He's at a higher level of hockey. So I grew up kind of in a hockey family. My cousin played at Shattuck, played in college. So we got some hockey players in my family. And my sophomore year of high school, I made this documentary. Now looking back on it, it was a piece of trash. But in the time being, I made like this 20-minute documentary on squirt hockey tryouts.
Oh, cute.
And doing that, I was like, wow, I really like storytelling and talking to players and coaches and parents. And I was like, so I kind of sparked an interest in sports reporting. And then my senior year, I started looking at colleges with hockey teams. And I was like, I know I want to cover hockey when I'm older, so it's kind of what got me here to St. Cloud State. My teacher and my mom both helped me find this school, and then I toured it, and once I saw the facility, I knew.
Well, let's also give a shout-out, shameless plug, to the men's hockey team. St. Cloud State is number one in the nation, which is super exciting.
Yeah, we're very lucky to have experienced such a great hockey team the last 4 years.
No, absolutely. Like, I just look at other people and, like, their universities. Like, I have a handful of friends that go to the University of Minnesota, and they have never, no offense to the Gophers, but had a championship-caliber team. And all of our 4 years at the university, like, we've been able to cover one of the best, if not the best, team in the country.
In the whole country, not even just in the conference, just, yeah. It's pretty fun to watch.
I'm really hoping they make it to the Frozen Four this year.
I would love to see it, and I feel good about this season. I know we said that last season, but
I have a good feeling about this season.
Yeah.
I have a really, really good feeling. And with Coach Larson, I feel like this team, we say this every year that they're championship caliber, but they have been championship caliber every single year. And I just don't exactly know what it is about this team, but I just have a gut feeling Frozen Four bound.
Yeah, and I think Coach Larson has brought such a new dynamic almost to the team, and the guys seem to just really respect him, and he seems like just a perfect fit for the team and the university. He really has done such a good job, and obviously he was a part of that Duluth championship team, so he clearly has been around winning.
Oh, yeah, and that's what you want. But also, too, like, touching on, like, what he's brought, like, the energy surrounding the program is insane this year. Like, I don't exactly, like, know what it is, but it's just so much fun. Like, the energy down by the locker rooms, out on the ice, like, watching them in their play, like, it is incredible. It's so much fun to be around.
Absolutely. It just, yeah, like you said, it completely, it's different this year. It's a different feeling. Even just doing our normal hockey interviews on Wednesdays, you can just tell.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's just very chill, and it's just fun. But also something else that I think is super cool right now, you look at the USCHO for all the top 20 teams in the nation. The top three teams are all Minnesota schools. You have St. Cloud State in number one, number two Duluth, and then Mankato is number three. Like, that just really speaks to how good hockey in Minnesota is.
Right, and I mean, even the conference alone, the NCHC, just looking at how many teams have been ranked in previous years in the last three national championships, being within the NCHC, it's a huge deal.
I was thinking about that last night, too, because speaking of Black Friday, I bought this really cool new NCHC quarter zip, and I'm super excited. I got the confirmation email that
Amazing.
It was shipped out today, but it made me think about it. I was just like, if you look at the NCHC, it's been around for, what, 5 years now? Maybe this is the sixth season, if I'm thinking correctly off of the top of my head. But the past 3 years, it has been NCHC teams consecutively winning the national
right.
title. And I think, not to jinx anyone, but I think we're about to make that four straight this year.
I would agree with that.
I have a really, really good feeling.
I really do, too. And it's like you said, it's just been, we're so lucky to have covered it these past 4 years. And you being able to be ice-side this year is just such a great year to do that.
It is. It's super fun. And then also, too, I'm planning to have a full-on episode about sports broadcasting, kind of a two-part series. One, just talking about the industry, like why I went in it, and then talking to some other people that are on the industry. And then, like, part two of the episode, talking to all female sportscasters. So Katie Emmer will be on the show.
Amazing.
And Piper, you know, Piper Shaw, I'll ask her if she wants to be on.
Yes.
So, because I would like to.
Yeah.
More girl power.
Absolutely.
But also, the reason why I say that, I cover St. Cloud State hockey. You do as well.
Yes.
And then Katie Emmer for Fox Sports North covers the Gophers. And then Piper Shaw covers the Badgers out in Wisconsin. So how cool. That's so cool. It's so cool to have
insight.
People that you went to college with all covering different college hockey teams.
It is. That's really cool.
It causes for fun rivalries, too.
It does.
I love chirping everybody about how their teams are doing.
Right. Yeah, you can't really, you know, can't really compare those three teams right there.
You can't.
Yeah.
They are very, very different.
St. Cloud State's far past.
Yes. Yes, you could say that. But also, taking away from college hockey, you're also a huge Avs fan.
Yes,
ma'am. What is your review on how they've been doing this season?
Honestly, the Avalanche, the past two seasons, last season we, in 2000, what was it, 16-17 season, last in the National Hockey League, okay? Last year we made the playoffs and we played your Predators.
Yes.
You know, I knew it was going to be a tough series, but I will say the Avalanche, they held their own.
They did, and I was starting to get really embarrassed because I was chirping you really hard through that
series.
You
really were, and they, I mean, I knew.
And I was getting nervous because I was like, this is blowing up in my face. Nashville is not playing well, and if the Avalanche beat Nashville in the playoffs first round, like, I'm going to be very upset because then Madison's going to throw it all back in my face.
Right. I knew that they weren't going to win, but honestly, they kind of surprised me. I didn't even expect
they
to
surprised
go,
me too.
Was it game five? I think it was game five. I expected us to be out in four.
I think it did go to five games. It for sure did not go to seven. It was five or six. But
I think
you were right.
Five.
When it was
yeah.
five.
Yeah. But honestly, the past few seasons, I think we're going to make playoffs again. Right now we're sitting in the wild card spot. So obviously
there's still a lot of time left.
We had a kind of a slump in November. We're coming out of that now. I mean, Gabriel Landeskog, Nate MacKinnon, got some top guys right there. Now that Matt Duchene, I feel like once we traded Matt Duchene, the dynamic of our team really just completely changed.
Kind of like when the Timberwolves traded Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. It makes a difference.
It does, that locker room atmosphere.
Honestly, the negative energy that some players bring.
I'm really hoping. Nashville, I know they're going to be in the playoffs. They're first in the West right now. And Minnesota is in second in the West,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they kind of pulled it together.
They have. And that kind of makes me a little bit nervous, too, like going down the stretch. I'm hoping that Nashville can just remain consistent throughout the regular season, just like they did last year when they won the President's Trophy.
Right.
But I just also hope that if they have a very strong regular season, they don't choke in the playoffs again. Like, yes, they got past the first round, and their performance against the Jets last year, I was just watching the series, and I was like, are you kidding me? It was just very upsetting, and especially coming off of the year that they had before where they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, Western Conference champions.
Right.
And then also my favorite player of all time, Mike Fisher, coming back from retirement. I was like, I need to see him win a Stanley Cup.
Yes.
I need to see that, and it just didn't happen. And I was like, guys, you let me down.
It wasn't in the cards for them, apparently.
It wasn't. And, like, honestly, if they don't win a Stanley Cup with the team that they have, I don't understand.
Right.
I don't understand at all.
I don't know when they would then if they have so much talent.
They do. Their team has so much depth. And now that Mike Fisher's gone, I don't want, not rest in peace. He's still living, but he's just gone from the game of hockey. Ryan Johansson. I love Ryan Johansson. He's my favorite player. I don't know what it is about him. I just think he's more coy, but also very skillful.
Absolutely.
Like when you watch him play. One of the best guys on that Predators top line, for sure. But also I'm a little worried right now about the health of, like, Victor Arvidsson and PK Subban. I know they're going to be back. Like,
they'll be back.
Their injuries aren't going to last longer than, like, 2 months. And I don't know, maybe having – you never want to see a player get injured, but I'm not happy about it. But I'd rather see it happen at the start of the season
early
than later down the stretch.
In playoffs.
Because speaking of the Stanley Cup Finals, I fully believe Nashville would have won if we had Kevin Fiala and Ryan Johansson healthy, but they were both out for the end of the season.
I really wanted them to win that year, I'm not going to lie.
I did too. And it was heartbreaking because I was coming back from Europe, so I was at the airport in Rome, and I was like, I'm going to make it back in time to see Game 7. And then I'm standing at the airport, and then two girls that were on the trip with me, they're just like, Pittsburgh won, Pittsburgh won. And I didn't, like, give a death glare, but I just looked over, and I was like, you do not know who you are saying this around. I was so upset. I have a picture on my phone. I took a picture of my face right when I found out the news, and I wanted to cry right then and there in the airport.
I just don't like it when the same teams.
It's so annoying. It's like,
just not, it's not fun.
It's like football.
To watch.
I love the NFC, not only because my Cowboys play in the NFC, but because every single year it's different. You have a new team coming up and competing to win the Lombardi Trophy. But then you look at the AFC and it's like Patriots every single
year.
And I am over it. I'm
even
over
with
it.
College football. Alabama.
I'm so over Alabama. I'm so over it.
I hope they do not make. I hope some underdog just comes in. I know.
I would love to see that. I always root for the underdog.
I do too. Alabama just, and even last year during the championship, thought the deal was sealed. They came back. Like, I can't do it.
That really upsets me because I know people listening to this are just like, who is this girl and why does she like teams from all over the country? But my two favorite college football teams are the Georgia Bulldogs and the Oklahoma Sooners. So also, if you follow along with me and you've been seeing my obsession with Baker Mayfield, that obsession started when he played for Oklahoma.
Yes.
And so when Alabama won the championship last year, I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. I was so upset. I was just like, my teams always take me to the brink, it seems, these past couple years, and they never show up.
Never.
They show up, but it never ends in my favor.
They never do it.
I feel like I'm due for taking some W's here.
Yeah. I'm due.
Well, Madison, it was a pleasure having you on this week's episode. Let's do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I will gladly come on and talk about whatever you would like.
Yay, I'm super excited. Not goodbye, because I'm going to be seeing you every day for the rest of the semester.
the rest of the year.
Also, a happy early Merry Christmas to
you. Thank you. You too, Kirsten. And thank you to all the fans.
Yes. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you again next week.